الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 18 Sunnahs and Etiquettes of Keeping Names. Supplication of the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the 33-page booklet 18 Sunnahs and Etiquettes of Keeping Names, including other important sunnahs and etiquettes, grant them the ability to do every act according to the sunnah and make them an embodiment of the sunnahs of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salats upon the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever faces any difficulty should send salats upon me in abundance, as sending salats upon me averts calamities. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 18 sunnahs and etiquettes of keeping names. Number 1. Two sayings of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Name the child after good people. On Judgment Day, you will be called by your names and your forefathers' names. Therefore, keep good names. Number 2. Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi said, a child should be given a good name. In the Indian subcontinent, many people have such names which have no meanings or they have bad meanings. Therefore, refrain from such names. It is better to name a child after the blessed prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam, blessed companions, tabi'een and pious predecessors rahimahumullah. It is hoped that the child will receive blessings from them. Number 3. Whether the child is born alive or stillborn, his body is formed completely or not, he should be named. He will be raised on Judgment Day. It has become clear that the fetus from a miscarriage should also be named. On page 17 of Rights of Children, a booklet by Maktabatul Madina, it is stated, name even the fetus from a miscarriage. Otherwise, he will complain in the court of Allah Almighty. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, name the fetus from a miscarriage, as Allah Almighty will make your mizan, i.e. balance of deeds, heavy through him. Number 4. Three sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about naming a male child Muhammad. The one who has been blessed with the birth of a son, and he names him Muhammad due to my love and for gaining the blessing of my name, both he and his son will go to paradise. On Judgment Day, two people will be made to stand before Allah Almighty. It will be ordered, take them to paradise. They will humbly say, O Allah Almighty, for which deed are we being sent to paradise? We did not perform any deed that may lead us to paradise. Allah Almighty will say, go to paradise. I have taken an oath that the person whose name is Ahmad or Muhammad will not go to hell. What loss will anyone from you incur if he has one Muhammad or two or three in his home? The summary of what the reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, wrote after narrating this blessed hadith is as follows. Therefore, I named all my sons and nephews Muhammad on the occasion of their aqiqah. Then to preserve the reverence of the blessed name and for the identification of the children, I gave them first names, bihamdillah. Five Muhammads are still alive, whereas more than five have passed away. The proof of Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, his father and his grandfather all share the same name, Muhammad. Hence, Muhammed bin Muhammed bin Muhammed Sayyiduna Eman Abu al-Barakat bin Muhammad rahmatullahi alayh is that great personality in whose lineage his father and forefathers up to 14 consecutive predecessors share the name Muhammad. Number 5. The blessing of the person named Muhammad. It has been narrated that if some people gather for a consultation about some issue, including a person named Muhammad, but the people do not request any advice from him, they will not succeed in achieving their aim. Number 6. Invocation for a male child. A Tabi'i saint, Imam Atta Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said, "The one who seeks a male child from his wife should keep his hand on the stomach of his pregnant wife and say, if it is a boy, I have named him Muhammad. Insha'Allah, a male child will be born." Number 7. Nowadays, Mu'adhallah, the misfortune of distorting names is common, and the distortion of the name Muhammad is very painful. So name every male child Muhammad or Ahmad, but for the purpose of calling them, give them first names after the pious predecessors. The pronunciation of the names should be easy. Number 8. Do not name your child Jibra'il or Mika'il, etc. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "Do not name the child after angels." Number 9. It is haram to name a child Muhammad Nabi, Ahmad Nabi, or Nabi Ahmad. Number 10. Whenever you choose a name, ask any Islamic Sunni scholar about its meaning. Do not choose a name which has bad meanings. For example, Ghafoor ud-Din means the eliminator of the religion. It is very bad to choose this name. Bad names have a bad effect. The reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, has said, "I have personally witnessed how bad names have a very bad effect. I have seen an outwardly upright Sunni person become one who conceals the religion and strives for falsehood in the final stages of his life." Number 11. The effects of the name can impact the future generations as well. It is mentioned on page 601, volume 3 of Bukhari Shariat, hadith number 21. It has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari from Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Musayyib radiyallahu anh, "My grandfather went to the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, 'What is your name?' My grandfather replied, 'Huzn.' The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, 'You are Sahl, i.e. name yourself Sahl, which means soft, and Huzn means harsh.' My grandfather said, 'I will not change the name which my father has given.' Sa'id bin Musayyib radiyallahu anh said, 'As a result, we still have harshness in us.'" Number 12. It is disallowed to name a child Yasin or Taha. Do not even name your child Muhammad Yasin. However, if you want, you can name your child Ghulam Yasin and Ghulam Taha. Number 13. In part 15 of Bukhari Shariat, it is stated in the chapter on Aqiqah, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman are very good names, but in this age it has quite often been observed that instead of calling the person whose name is Abdul Rahman by his name Abdul Rahman, many people call him Rahman, and it is haram to call anyone Rahman other than Allah Almighty. Similarly, people call Abdul Khalik Khalik and Abdul Ma'bud Ma'bud. Such an impermissible change should not be made at all in such types of names. Likewise, there is a trend of using diminutive forms of names, i.e. people distort names in a way that results in belittlement. Such names should not be made diminutive at all. So when there is a likelihood that names will be made diminutive, such names should not be chosen, or rather, other names should be chosen. Number 14. Bad names should be replaced with good names, because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would change a bad name with a good name. There was a woman whose name was Asiya, i.e. sinful. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam changed her name to Jamila. Number 15. Such names are forbidden which constitute self-praise. In verse number 32 of Surah An-Najm, Juz 27, Allah Almighty has said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fala tuzakku anfusakum. And therefore do not make the claim of yourselves to be pure. Referencing Fusule Imadi, the reviver of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi has written, no one should choose such a name which expresses self-praise. It is stated in Sahih Muslim, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam changed the name of a woman named Barra, i.e. righteous woman, to Zainab, and said, do not praise yourself. Allah Almighty knows very well who amongst you are righteous. Number 16. It is not permissible to choose such names which are specific to non-Muslims. From page 663 to 664 of Fatawa-i Razaviyya, volume 24, it is stated, there are types of names which are specific to disbelievers, such as Jirjis, Putrus, Yuhanna, etc. Therefore, it is not permissible for Muslims to choose such types of names for their children because it has a resemblance to the disbelievers. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Number 17. It is permissible to name the child Ghulam Muhammad and Ahmad Jan, but it is preferable not to add Ghulam or Jan, etc., so that the one can attain the virtues of the names Muhammad and Ahmad mentioned in the blessed hadith. Number 18. It is permissible to choose names like Ghulam Rasul, Ghulam Siddiq, Ghulam Ali, Ghulam Hussein, Ghulam Ghawth, and Ghulam Raza. 25 sunnahs and etiquettes pertaining to aqiqah. Number 1. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the boy is in pledge for his aqiqah. An animal should be sacrificed on his behalf on the 7th day. He should be named and the hair of his head should be shaved. Being in pledge for means full benefits will not be obtained from him unless his aqiqah is performed. And some muhaddithun have said that a child's safety, growth, and good attributes in him are associated with the aqiqah. When an animal is slaughtered in gratitude for the birth of a child, it is called aqiqah. Number 3. When a child is born, it is preferable to call adhan and iqama in his ears. Calling adhan will remove afflictions, insha'Allah. Number 4. It is better to call adhan 4 times in the right ear and iqama 3 times in the left ear. Number 5. It is a custom of many people to call adhan only when a boy is born and not when a girl is born. This should not be done. Adhan and ikama should also be called when a girl is born. Number 6. On the 7th day of the birth, the child should be named and the head should be shaved. The aqiqah should be performed at the time of shaving the head. An amount of silver or gold equivalent to the weight of the shaved hair should be given as charity. Number 7. 2 billy goats in the aqiqah of a boy and 1 nanny goat in the aqiqah of a girl should be slaughtered, i.e. for a boy, male animals, and for a girl, a female animal are appropriate. However, there is no issue if nanny goats are slaughtered in the aqiqah of a boy and a billy goat in the aqiqah of a girl. Number 8. If someone cannot afford to slaughter 2 goats for his son, 1 will also suffice. Number 9. One can have shares of aqiqah even in a sacrificial qurbani like camel, etc. Number 10. Aqiqah is neither farz nor wajib, but rather sunnah mustahabba. If you can afford it, you should do it, and if you do not do it, you will not be sinful. However, you will be deprived of the reward for aqiqah. It is not permissible at all for a poor person to perform aqiqah after obtaining an interest-based loan. Number 11. If a child has passed away before he reaches the age of 7 days, and his aqiqah was not performed, this will not affect his ability of intercession, etc., because he has passed away before the time of aqiqah. However, if a child had reached the age of 7 days, but his aqiqah was not performed without any genuine reason, despite the fact that his parents could afford it, it has been stated about such child that he will not be able to intercede for his parents. Number 12. It is a sunnah to perform aqiqah on the 7th day of the birth, and this is preferable. It can also be performed on the 14th or 21st day of the birth. If someone cannot perform it on the 7th day, he can perform it whenever he wants. The sunnah will be considered to have been performed. Number 13. If someone's aqiqah has not been performed, he can perform his aqiqah in his youth or in his old age. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam performed his aqiqah himself after the declaration of prophethood. Number 14. Some Islamic scholars have said it is better to perform aqiqah on either the 7th day, 14th day, or 21st day, etc., of the birth, i.e., consideration should be given to 7 days. If a person does not remember it, he should remember the day when his child was born. When the day preceding the birthday of the child comes, this will be considered the 7th day. For example, if his child was born on Friday, then every Thursday of his life is his 7th day. If he does not remember his child's birthday, he can perform aqiqah whenever he wants. Number 15. After shaving the head of the child, it is better to rub ground saffron on his head. Number 16. It is better not to break the bones of the animal slaughtered for aqiqah. Rather, the meat should be removed from the bones. This bodes well for the safety of the child. If the meat is cooked after breaking the bones, there is no harm in it. The meat can be cooked in any way, but if it is cooked with a sweet taste, it is a good omen for the child to be well-mannered. Number 17. 2 methods of cooking sweet meat. Pour oil or ghee as per need and put 1 kilogram of meat, half a kilogram of sweetened yogurt, 7 pieces of cardamom and 50 grams of almonds into a pot. Thereafter, cook all the ingredients. After it is cooked, add sugar, to it as per need, for garnishing finely chopped carrots and raisins, etc., can also be added to it. Put half a kilogram of beetroot with 1 kilogram of meat in a pot and cook them as per normal. Number 18. It is generally believed that the parents and paternal and maternal grandparents of a child should not eat the meat of aqiqah, which is quite wrong, and there is no proof for this. Number 19. The rulings on the skin of aqiqah animals are the same as the rulings concerning the skin of sacrificial animals. One can use it personally, give it to the poor, or donate it to any good cause like a masjid or madrasa. Number 20. The aqiqah animal should meet the same conditions as stipulated for the sacrificial animal. Its raw meat can be distributed amongst the poor, relatives and close friends. It can also be given to them after cooking, or it can be served to them at a feast. All these scenarios are permissible. Number 21. Feeding the aqiqah meat to kites and crows is meaningless. They are transgressors. Number 22. Aqiqah is performed in gratitude for a birth. Therefore, aqiqah cannot be performed after death. Number 23. On the occasion of the aqiqah of the boy, his father should slaughter the animal and recite the following supplication. Allahumma hadhihi aqiqatu ibni fulan damuha bi damiha wa lahmuha bi lahmi wa azmuha bi azmi wa jalduha bi jaldiha wa sha'ruha bi sha'ri. Allahumma ij'alha fida'an libni minan nar. Bismillah, Allahu akbar. Instead of saying so and so, mention the name of the son. If the aqiqah is for a daughter, say the word binti instead of ibni at both places, and ha instead of he at 5 places. If anyone else other than the father slaughters the animal, he should replace the words ibni fulan or binti fulan with fulan ibni fulan or fulana binti fulan. The boy should be ascribed to his father and the girl should be ascribed to her mother. Number 24. If you do not remember this supplication, just imagine in your heart without reciting the supplication that it is the aqiqah of so and so boy or so and so girl. After this, recite Bismillahi Allahu Akbar and then slaughter the animal. Aqiqah will be considered to have been performed. It is not necessary to recite the supplication for aqiqah. Number 25. Nowadays, relatives are usually invited to the aqiqah ceremony and are served with a feast, which is a good act. The guests also bring gifts for the child, which is fine too. However, there are some details in this regard. If the guest does not bring any gifts, the host or his family members sometimes commit the sin of speaking ill of the guest. If the guest is sure or has a strong presumption that he will face such a situation in case of attending the ceremony, he should not attend it unless he feels compelled. He should attend the ceremony only when it is necessary and there is no harm in him bringing gifts. However, if the host receives the gift with the intention that if the guest had not brought gifts, he would have spoken ill of him, or he does not have any such intention, but he has a bad habit of speaking ill of guests, then where the host has a strong presumption that the guest has brought him the gift to stay safe from being criticized, he will be a sinner and deserving of hellfire. In this case, the gift will be a form of bribery for him. However, if the host does not have the intention of speaking ill of the guest, nor does he have a habit of doing such a thing, There is no harm in receiving the gift. Four sunnas and manners of applying kol. Number one, saying of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the best of your kohl is ithmad, as it improves vision and causes eyelashes to grow. Number two, there is no harm in using kohl made from stone. However, it is disliked for men to use black kohl or kajal with the intention of beautification, but it is not disliked if beautification is not intended. Number three, it is a sunnah to use kohl whilst going to sleep at night. Number four, here is the summary of the three narrated methods of using kohl. Sometimes apply it thrice to each eye. Sometimes apply it thrice to the right eye and twice to the left. Sometimes apply it twice to each eye, and at the end take the applier and put it into the container so that the kohl goes onto it. Then use the same applier once on each eye. Insha'Allah, applying it in this way will fulfill all three methods. O devotees of the Prophet, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to begin all honorable acts from the right side. So apply kohl to the right eye first and then to the left eye. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 22 sunnahs and etiquettes related to hairstyles, etc. Number 1. The blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would sometimes reach halfway down his blessed ears. Number 2. Sometimes it would reach his blessed earlobes. Number 3. Other times it would reach his blessed shoulders. Number 4. From time to time, we should act upon each of these three sunnahs, i.e., sometimes we should grow our hair to halfway down the ears, sometimes to our earlobes, and sometimes to our shoulders. Number 5. The sunnah of growing hair to the shoulders is usually more difficult for our nafs. Nevertheless, everybody should act upon this sunnah once or twice in his life. However, it is necessary to ensure that the hair do not go below the shoulders. The length of hair can be correctly seen when they are wet. So, in the days when you grow your hair, in order to practice this sunnah, comb your hair after having a shower and properly observe if your hair are going below your shoulders. Number 6. My master, the reviver of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, has stated, it is haram for men to grow hair beyond the shoulders like women. Number 7. Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayh has stated, it is not permissible for a man to grow long hair like women. Some pseudo-Sufis grow extremely long hair which hang on their chest like a snake, and some of them braid their hair or tie their hair in a bun similar to women. All these are impermissible and against Sharia. Tasawwuf, i.e. spiritual wayfaring, does not lie in growing hair and wearing colorful dresses. Rather, it lies in obeying the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam completely and overcoming the desires of the nafs. Number 8. It is haram for a woman to get her head shaved. Number 9. It is impermissible and a sin for a woman to get her hair cut like disbelieving women have started getting their hair cut. It has also been cursed. The same ruling will apply even if a husband asks his wife to do such a thing. A woman will become sinful if she does it, because no one, mother, father, a husband, etc., should be obeyed if it results in disobeying Sharia. Do not get the hair of small girls cut according to masculine styles. Right from their childhood, make their mind to keep long hair like women. Number 10. Some people make the parting of the hair either to the right or left side. This is against the sunnah. Number 11. If one has hair on the head, the sunnah is to make a parting in the center. Number 12. Men have the choice to either have their head shaved or grow their hair and make the parting. Number 13. Both things are proven to have been done by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, although having the head shaven is proven to have been done at the time of coming out of Ihram. It is not proven on other occasions. Number 14. Nowadays, hair is cut in a particular style using scissors or machines, making some parts of the hair long and some part short. It is not a sunnah to have such a hairstyle. Number 15. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, whoever has hair should honor it, i.e. wash, oil and comb it. Number 16. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam was the first to trim the hair of the mustache and the first to see a white hair. He alayhi salam humbly asked, O Lord, what is this? Allah Almighty replied, O Ibrahim, this is your grandeur. He alayhi salam then humbly said, O my Lord, increase my grandeur. Regarding this blessed hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi has said, before him, the mustaches of any prophet either did not grow, or if they grew, they trimmed them. But they were not commanded in their sharias to cut their mustaches. Now, by virtue of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, this act has become an Ibrahimi sunnah. Number 17. It is an evil innovation to get the hair shaved or plucked from both sides of the hair, which is found between the lower lip and the chin. Number 18. It is disliked to get the hair on the nape of the neck shaved. This applies when one only gets the hair on the nape of the neck shaved and not the hair of the head. Just as many people get the hair on the nape of the neck shaved when they have their beards trimmed. If the hair on the entire head is shaved, then along with this, the hair on the nape of the neck should also be shaved. Number 19. We have been commanded to bury four things: hair, nails, the piece of cloth that a woman uses for cleaning menstrual discharge, and blood. Number 20. It is recommended for men to dye the white hair of the beard or head red or yellow. For this purpose, henna can be used. Number 21. One should not sleep with henna applied to the beard or hair. According to a hakim, a herbalist, sleeping after applying henna in this way may release the heat of the head to the eyes, which is detrimental to eyesight. This advice of the hakim was verified in such a way that a blind person once came to the renowned spiritual guide and Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Ilyas Attar Al-Qadiri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, and said that he was not born visually impaired, but regrettably he once applied black henna to his hair and then went to sleep. When he awoke, he had lost his eyesight. Number 22. The whiteness of the moustache, the hair under the lower lip, and the edges of the beard of the people who apply henna becomes apparent after only a few days, and this does not look nice. Therefore, if you cannot repeatedly dye your entire beard, then after every 4 days, at least try to apply a small amount of henna to the parts on which whiteness is visible. 25 Sunnahs and Etiquettes Pertaining to the Imamah. 7 Sayings of the Beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Number 1. 2 Rak'at units of Salah offered wearing an Imamah are better than offering 70 Rak'at without wearing an Imamah. Number 2. Wearing an Imamah over a hat is the difference between us and the polytheists. For every fold of the Imamah that a Muslim ties around his head, he will be given a light on the Day of Judgment. Number 3. Undoubtedly, Allah Almighty and His angels send salats on Friday upon those who wear an imamah. Number 4. Offering salah wearing an imamah is equivalent to 10,000 virtues. Number 5. 1. Salatul Jumu'ah offered wearing an imamah is equivalent to 70 Salatul Jumu'ah offered without an imamah. Number 6. Imamas are the crowns of the Arabs, so tie the imamah. Your dignity will be enhanced. Whoever ties an imamah gains one virtue for every fold. Number 7. Wear an imamah, your forbearance will increase. Explanation of the hadith. By wearing an imamah, your forbearance will increase and your chest will be expanded. Because if a person's appearance is good, it makes him serious-minded and dignified and saves him from being emotional and from disgraceful actions. Number 8. On page 660 of Bukhari Shariat, Volume 3, it is stated, wear an imamah whilst standing, and put on trousers whilst sitting. Whoever does the opposite, i.e. wears an imamah whilst sitting, and puts on trousers whilst standing, will be afflicted with such a disease for which there is no cure, i.e. doctors are unaware of its cure. Number 9. Before wearing an imamah, make good intentions. If there is not a single good intention, reward will not be given. So make the following intentions as per the situation. Acting upon sunnah, I am wearing the imamah for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Also make the following intention if you are preparing for salah whilst wearing it, and to adorn myself for salah. Number 10. It is appropriate to wrap the first fold of the imamah towards the right side of the head. Number 11. The shimla, i.e. the loose end, of the blessed imamah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would generally hang behind on his blessed back. Sometimes it would be on the right hand side, and sometimes there would be two shimlas between both of his blessed shoulders. To keep the shimla on the left hand side is against the sunnah. Number 12. The minimum length of the shimla of an imamah should be 4 fingers. Number 13. The maximum length should be down to the middle of the back, i.e. approximately equal to the length of a cubit. From the tip of the middle finger to the elbow is 1 cubit. Number 14. Tie the imama while standing facing the qibla. It is stated in Mirat, whether you tie the imama in a masjid or any other place, it is a sunnah to tie it whilst standing. Number 15. The sunnah of imama is that it should not be shorter than 2.5 yards, nor longer than 6 yards, and it should be tied in a dome-like shape. Number 16. If you have a large piece of material with which you can make enough folds to cover the whole head, it will be considered an imama. Number 17. It is disliked to tie a small piece of material with which one can only make 1 or 2 folds. Number 18. If you want to tie the imama anew, untie it as you tied it. Do not take it off all at once. Number 19. If you have to take it off due to a need and you have the intention to tie it again, one sin of yours will be removed for untying each fold. 6 medical benefits of an imama. Number 20. Cold and hot weather, sunlight, etc., directly affect the hair of bareheaded people. They not only affect the hair, but also their brain and face, and may also harm their health. Therefore, if you wear an imama with the intention to follow the sunnah, you will find well-being in both worlds. Number 21. According to medical research, it is beneficial to wear an imama for relieving headaches. Number 22. An imama gives strength to the brain and makes the memory strong. Number 23. By wearing an imama, one does not suffer from chronic cold, or if he is afflicted with it, it has less effect on him. Number 24. The shimla of an imama protects a person from the paralysis of the lower body because it protects the spinal cord from seasonal effects such as cold, heat, etc. Number 25. The shimla reduces the risk of the disease of phrenitis. Phrenitis is a disease which causes swelling in the brain. 19 sunnahs and etiquettes related to wearing a ring. Number 1. It is haram for a man to wear a gold ring. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam forbade wearing a gold ring. Number 2. It is haram to have a non-pubescent boy wear gold and silver jewelry, and the one making the non-pubescent boy do so will be a sinner. Similarly, it is impermissible to apply henna unnecessarily to the hands and feet of boys. A woman can apply it to her hands and feet, but if she applies it to a boy, she will be sinful. Number 3. The iron ring is the jewelry of the hell dwellers. Number 4. It is permissible for men to wear only a gent's ring, i.e. one with only a single gem. If there is more than one gem, it will be impermissible for men, even if it is made of silver. Number 5. It is impermissible to wear a gemless ring, because it is not a ring, rather it is a metal band. Number 6. It is permissible to wear the ring on which harufi muqatta'at, the letters at the beginning of some Quranic surahs, are inscribed. However, it is not permissible to wear and touch this kind of ring without wudu, i.e. ablution. It is also not permissible for the one shaking hands to touch such a ring at the time of shaking hands without ablution. Number 7. Similarly, it is impermissible for men to wear more than one permissible ring or one or more than one metal band, because a metal band is not a ring. Women can wear metal bands. Number 8. Even without the need of using the ring as a stamp, it is permissible to wear a silver ring that weighs less than 4.5 masha, i.e. 4.374 grams, and has only one gem. However, for the one who does not need to use it as his official stamp, it is preferable not to wear even a permissible ring. As for the one who needs to use it for the purpose of stamping, not only is this type of ring permissible, but it is also a sunnah to wear it. However, if somebody wears it to show arrogance or adopt a feminine style or for any other evil intention, it will not be permissible for him to wear even good clothes, let alone a ring. Number 9. On the occasions of Eid, it is recommended for men to wear a permissible ring. Number 10. Wearing a ring is a sunnah only for those who need to use it as an official stamp, such as the ruler, the judge, and the Islamic scholars stamping fatawa with the ring. Except for these people, it is not a sunnah for those not needing to use it as an official stamp, though it is permissible to wear it. Nowadays, rings are no longer used as stamps, but rather a particular stamp is made for this purpose. Therefore, it is no longer a sunnah to wear a ring even for the judges, etc., who do not need to use it as a stamp. Number 11. Men should wear the ring in a way that the gem remains towards the palm, whilst women should keep the gem towards the back of the hand. Number 12. A silver ring without a gem is a piece of jewellery specifically worn by women. For men, it is makruh tahrimi, i.e. impermissible and a sin. Number 13. Women can wear as many silver and gold rings as they like, with or without a gem. For them, there is no limit on the weight of silver and gold and the number of gems. Number 14. If an iron ring is plated with silver so that the iron is not visible at all, it is not prohibited for both men and women to wear such a ring. Number 15. One can wear the ring on either hand, but one should wear it on the little finger. Number 16. It is impermissible and a sin for men to wear a metal bracelet, even related to a religious vow or dhamm. Number 17. Likewise, it is not permissible to wear a gemless ring made of silver or any other metal, or a steel ring brought from Medina Munawwara or the sacred city of Ajmer. Number 18. It is not permissible either for men to wear a silver ring or any other metal ring without a gem, on which dhamm has been made for the cure of piles and other diseases. Number 19. If an Islamic brother is wearing a bracelet, a gemless ring made of any metals, an impermissible ring, or a metal chain of any type, he should remove it without any delay, repent immediately, and make an intention not to wear it in the future. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The name most liked by Allah. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, From your names, the most liked by Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.